Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Well, it was going to happen sooner or later. Pastor Joel Osteen of Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas, just by virtue of the fact that he is perhaps the most successful numerically, most successful pastor in the United States with the largest megachurch in the U.S., becomes the go-to pastor at times for times of trouble. Others like Rick Warren, Bill Hybels have been this from time to time, but Joel Osteen is the one that the media likes to ask, and the answers he give, they're nice answers. I mean, if you're looking to be cheered up a little bit after you've watched endless footage of the carnage in Haiti, Joel's the guy to do it. Feel a little more encouraged about yourself, about those people down there, he can handle that. But does the cross have any place? Does the suffering of Christ have any place in understanding, comprehending, and remaining a Christian in the midst of our suffering? We're going to be listening to a CNN interview, Anderson Cooper interviewing Joel Osteen, asking him some very basic questions about the earthquake in Haiti and about a failing economy in the United States. It's Tuesday afternoon, February the 4th. It's audio open lines. That means I want to hear from you as we listen to this interview with Joel Osteen. Feel free to give us a call with your reaction as well. What you hear, what you don't hear. Remember, often with preaching like Joel Osteen's, with answers like those that Osteen give, is not so much what he does say, although we can quibble with that. It's often what he doesn't say, what he omits. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Ask yourself this question as you listen to Joel Osteen answer Anderson Cooper's questions about the earthquake and the economy. If I were to pose these questions to my pastor and he were to give these answers, would that satisfy me? Would I need to hear more? 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback at issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at issuesetc. Here's the interview between CNN's Anderson Cooper and Pastor Joel Osteen.
How can God let something like this happen? I mean, I know it's an obvious and a simple question, but it's the question that always comes up in something like this.
Well, I don't think any of us have the answer. I mean, God is a sovereign God, but we live in a world that's not a perfect place. I mean, the scripture talks about, even Jesus himself said, in this world you'll have difficulty, challenges. One part even specifically says famines, earthquakes, trouble like that. So we don't know, but I do know this, like you witnessed down there, in these times of need, in times of crisis, when you turn to your faith, you can feel a strength and a peace that only God can give. And really, it's the difficult times where you need your faith.
Yeah. I mean, it was remarkable. We would drive down a street and see a family or just group of people who were sleeping on the street, just singing songs about Jesus and praying on the street. And we would stop and sort of take part in it just because it was so uplifting for everybody. And yet it's still, for people who haven't grown up with faith, it's an extraordinary thing to witness.
It really is. I mean, in those difficult times, I mean, we've all experienced it, maybe not to that effect, but through loss, through just terrible times, you can feel this peace that's on the inside. It doesn't really seem to make sense, but it's what I believe is the presence of God in you, giving you the strength to overcome. And, the Bible talks about, God will give you beauty for your ashes. They're in those dark times, but we believe in that they're going to come out, and that's the hope that we try to give people, and I think that's the hope that they feel.
All right, before we go on, so far, he's been asked the big question. Of course, what the big question is, how could God allow this to happen? Assuming that God is great and God is good, how could God permit this to happen? I can't fault Joel Osteen for his basic answer, which is, I don't know. We don't know. God hasn't told us why this is. So far, that's fine. But is there something missing here? Talk about how God is good. He's in control. We have hope. Hope in what? That someone's going to rebuild my house, that I won't be living in a tent made out of a bedsheet for the rest of my life? That the government might be restored? honestly, you're a person in Haiti. You've just been through what you've been through, and you know how long it's going to take to even get back to where you were, which wasn't very good to begin with, honestly. And Joel Osteen is talking about hope. Is there hope beyond just thinking, well, God's going to work this out for good? And if so, how can I know that? How can I know what God considers good? How do I know that he means that for me? And the tougher questions should also be raised. What about the person who's still buried under the rubble and didn't survive? Did God intend that for his good too? Is there a way of comprehending what is, in, from our perspective, incomprehensible human suffering, where we don't simply let God off the hook and say, well, you know, he's in charge and he hasn't explained his business to us, but he's good. How do I know he's good? How do I know that God's good doesn't mean my destruction? These are the kind of questions that people in Haiti must be asking, don't you think? Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, Twitter us @issuesetc, or you can give us a call on this Thursday afternoon. It's February the 4th. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Remember, listen for what he isn't saying as much as you are listening for what he is saying.
It seems so, I mean, it's so unfair, though. I mean, just because you happen to be born in a different, you know, because I was born in the zip code I was born in, my life is monumentally better than someone's life there. My life is better than most people in New York City. But, I mean, it just completely random, just because I happen to be born into this zip code. I mean, why, it's a dumb question, but why are the things which are so unfair allowed to happen?
You know, I don't know, but I believe God has a plan and a purpose for all of our lives. I think of the same thing, because I've been to Africa and different places, and when you watch those people suffering, and you think, you know, it easily could have been me. I don't know, but you have to come back to that central theme that God has a plan for each person's life.
Look, is it true that God has a plan for each person's life? Yes. Any decent God, by any definition, has a plan for everyone's life. How do I know that plan isn't me ending my life dehydrated under a bunch of rubble? And by what definition would I call that good? Look, does anyone want to deny that God is sovereign? We're really dealing here with the sovereignty of God, that God is in charge of all things, that he rules all things, that he governs all things. No one denies that God is entirely sovereign. I guess there are few who would. But a God, by any decent definition, is sovereign. He rules. He's in charge. But that's not good news. God's bare sovereignty, his naked sovereignty, is not good news if I am one of his subjects and I've run afoul of his will. How do I know this sovereign isn't punishing me? Sovereigns also punish, you know. How do I know this? 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943. I want to hear from you. Reaction to Joel Osteen and Anderson Cooper talking about the Haitian earthquake. 1-877-623-6943.
Those people down there, they're not here by accident. They're here for a destiny to fulfill. I think when you believe that no matter where you are, you can rise higher, that you have a purpose.
Do you ever question your faith? I mean, have you ever had an event which really made you question your faith?
You know, I really haven't, and I don't say that because I'm super spiritual, but, you know, I've grown up in this. And
well, if you're not super spiritual, I don't know who is.
Well, I don't want to sound super spiritual, but, okay. You know, I've grown up in this, and, you know, we've had difficult times. My mom facing cancer, and, you know, every week, we had a big church, so every week, you know, I pray for little babies that have cancer or that, you know, just terrible situations, and it makes your heart go out to them, but it doesn't necessarily make me question my faith. It lets me pump hope into him more than ever to say, God has you in the palm of his hand. Mm. You know, trust him. He'll give you the strength. Doesn't always come out the way we'd like. I mean, I'd love for all those people to have been spared, but obviously it wasn't. But you know what? We believe that even when it looks like it's out of control, that God is still in control.
But is that good news? To simply say that God is in control and has a plan for me. The Nazis were in control and they had a plan for the Jews, didn't they? And they were in control. They made the trains run on time. And they had a plan, a very definite idea and purpose and plan for the Jews and the Gypsies and all those they considered undesirable. And for many of them, it ended in an oven at the end of a very long and drawn out existence in a prison camp. Nazis in control. Nazis got a plan. How do I know that God isn't a divine Nazi who is simply toying with us? Maybe his plan is to use us for his amusement. And earthquakes amuse him. And he likes to see what we do. Like some cosmic four-year-old with a magnifying glass trying to, you know, the kids with the magnifying glass burning the bugs in the sun. How do we know that that isn't the God we're dealing with? What Joel Osteen seems to assume is God's goodness on our terms. But how do I know that this God is for me and not against me? Nothing of what he has said is untrue in and of itself. God is in control. He's sovereign. He has a plan for everyone's lives. They're not there on accident. They're there for a purpose. But he's presented nothing. This is America's pastor, folks. He's presented nothing in the face of Anderson Cooper's questions that gives anyone, much less the Haitian people, any assurance that God simply isn't capriciously toying with their lives. And that's his plan. Now, we often say that we have the smartest listeners in radio. I want to hear from you, your reaction to Joel Osteen. There's more. He'll talk about the U.S. economy with Anderson Cooper on the other side of this break. It's audio open lines, 1-877-623-MYIE. Answer my question. How do I know that God isn't simply toying with us and with the Haitians? Because so far, all Joel Osteen has told me is that God's in control and that he's got a plan. How do I know it's a good plan? How do I know it's a plan that doesn't end with me dying in an earthquake or you just to amuse this God who's in control? 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. More audio open lines. Your reaction after this. Call during this break.
Are you looking for a church where you can receive the gifts of God in the gospel and the sacraments and in the church's historic worship with lively music? Then come to Hope Lutheran Church in South St. Louis. We're located on the corner of Brannan and Neosho Streets at 5218 Neosho. You can also reach us on the World Wide Web at www.hopelutheranstl.org and give us a call at 314-352-0014. There is hope in St. Louis.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A disappointing turn of events in Spain.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
A majority Catholic nation, Spain has been stronger on sanctity of human life issues than many of its European neighbors. However, recently the Spanish Parliament approved legislation to legalize abortions in that country through the 14th week of pregnancy, and in some cases, the 22nd week. Currently, Spain only allows abortions for the health of the mother. This policy leads to about 100,000 abortions per year, as abortion centers use the mental health aspect of the law to justify the procedure. Pro-life groups in Spain predict the number of abortions will rise significantly with the new expanded law.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
In those difficult times, you know, the saying, you can get bitter or you can get better. And a lot of people let adversity just push them down. Then there's other people that see it as a challenge. They know that God's in control, that he's directing their steps, and they have that attitude of faith. And I believe that's what leads you, you know, to new beginnings.
That's Joel Osteen talking with Anderson Cooper about the Haitian earthquake and, in a few minutes, the American economy. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's Audio Open Lines. I want to hear from you. Has he said enough? What he said so far isn't technically incorrect, but has he said everything that a Christian ought to say in the face of unimaginable and incomprehensible human suffering? 1-877-623-MYIE. I do want to hear from you. We're coming to you live this Thursday afternoon, February the 4th. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at issuesetc. A Muslim can say that God is in control and that he's a plan for your life. I don't know that a Muslim would say that Allah is intimately controlled, intimately controlling in a loving way your all the events of your life. They view Allah as capricious. He's arbitrary. But he's in control. There is no doubt about it. I mean, you want to find a God that is sovereign. It's Allah. So let's say it's not Joel Osteen sitting there with Anderson Cooper, but a Muslim imam. And he were to say, Anderson says, how could God allow this? And the imam says, I don't know. Allah keeps his own counsel. I'm not here to question Allah, but I do know that Allah is in control and that he has a plan and that all men are his creation and they've all been put on the face of this earth to carry out his plan. And he's in control. Allah is sovereign. Can you tell me how that answer is any different in any way whatsoever from Joel Osteen's answer? In other words, has Joel Osteen given an answer that is distinctly Christian? Or could he just as well be a Muslim answering that question? He's given a very good Muslim answer to a question. The only problem is Joel Osteen doesn't say he's a Muslim. He says he's a Christian. Is God in control? Yes. When the question comes up, okay, this God's in control and you say he's good, how could he permit things like this to happen? Where does the Christian begin his answer? Where does he start? Does he start with the sovereignty of God? I would contend that if you do, if you start with the sovereignty of God, which is not in and of itself wrong, but if you start there, you will never get a Christian answer. You'll get a Muslim answer. It's not a wrong answer to say that God is sovereign. It's just not the answer to the question. Of course, God is sovereign. So is Allah, the fictional God of the Muslim. The Christian doesn't begin with God's sovereignty or with his unsearchable plans for mankind, each and every one of us. The Christian begins his answer to the question, how could God permit such a thing? Where Christians always begin. Not with God's sovereignty, not with God's unsearchable judgments, but with the thing that we do know about God beyond a shadow of a doubt. He allowed his own son to perish under the crushing weight of mankind's sin at the cross. That's where Christians begin their answer. This God who is sovereign has decided to exercise his sovereignty by sacrificing his own son. Remember, sovereigns can reward, sovereigns can punish. This sovereign has punished his own son in the place of all mankind. Now, you ask Anderson Cooper, how could God permit such a thing? Would that Joel Osteen had the theological wherewithal to say, you know, Anderson, I don't know about the earthquake, but let me answer a question I do know the answer to, and that is how God could permit his own son to suffer at the cross, his own innocent, undeserving son, to suffer at the cross as the sacrifice for sins. He did it because of his great love for a humanity that wanted nothing to do with him. While we were yet his enemies, Christ died for us. You know, when Christians are faced with this question, how could God allow this to happen, that to happen? We can retreat into the sovereignty of God and sound like good Muslims. Or we can go straight to the cross and we can begin to comprehend our suffering in the face of Christ's suffering for us. Now you say, but that doesn't explain the earthquake. No, but it does explain who God is, and it does explain how he exercises his sovereignty, and it does explain what his plan is. His plan is to save mankind through the sacrifice of his own son. And a God who would do this and would also permit an earthquake in Haiti must be good if he would give his own son to save everyone. All right. Back to Tuesday night's interview, Anderson Cooper and Joel Osteen.
In tonight's Big 360 interview, we're talking to Joel Osteen, senior pastor of the Lakewood Church in Houston. He's also the author of It's Your Time. Before the break, of course, we were talking about Haiti and implications for faith. We're going to kind of switch gears a bit now, talk about the economy here at home. You write about money in this new book. I mean, why? Obviously, it affects a lot of people, but I mean, a preacher talking about money to some people maybe raises some eyebrows.
Yeah, I don't know if I do money specifically. I talk about being blessed, and really, Anderson, it was born out of, you know, the last year or two. It seems like people were just putting their dreams on hold. There was such a, you know, just a doom and gloom with the economy and so many bad things happening. I just felt like I needed to lift people's spirits and say, you know, every day is a gift that God's given us. We're supposed to get up each day and say, you know what, I'm going to be my best today. I'm going to believe I can rise higher and not let all the fear and the bad news to, you know, push our dreams down and keep us from enjoying this day that God gave us.
Someone once said to me a couple of years ago that, talking to me as a friend, saying, you know, it's time to stop trying to survive and start trying to live. And its echo is in something I think you write in the book, which is about not just surviving, but actually thriving. Yeah. How do you thrive in a time when just surviving, you know, seems to take a miracle?
Well, I think it starts with your attitude. I think you have to, you know, to me, when you get up each day and you expect to, you know, to see God work in your life, to have a good day, to be a blessing to somebody else, to me, that's what allows God to do great things in your life. But when you get up and think, man, if I can just make it through this day and this year and it's so bad and I may get laid off, that just draws in more negativity. So if you can get up and say, you know what, God, things may not be perfect, but you've given me this day, I'm going to be my very best.
You talk about in the book things happening for you and not happening to you. What does that mean?
Well, I believe that, you know, it's a great way to look at it, that God doesn't allow anything in your life that he won't use for your good for some way. And if you can look at it, you know, if
wait, God won't allow anything
to come into your life that he can't use in some way. Hmm. And it's for good in some way. I mean, you know, I'll take the death of my father. That was the worst thing that ever happened to me. I was best friends. But you know what? That's what launched me into what I'm doing today.
Right.
Now, I could have gotten bitter and think, God, where are you? Why didn't you let me? But I really believe if you look at it, you know, you go through some kind of loss or you lose your job or, you know, something bad happens. If you keep the right attitude, it may not happen overnight. Mm. I mean, those people in Haiti, it's not going to happen overnight. But I believe over time, you will see how God can still use that for your good.
It is fascinating to me how, and I see it all the time in these situations and in my own life, is like how some people survive and others don't. I mean, why do, you know, two brothers growing up, why does one make it and one not? Why does, you know, and a lot of it seems to be how somebody responds to a situation, how they interpret a situation. Two people can have the same situation affect them, but it's all how you interpret it and take it to heart.
I think you're right. I think you're exactly right. In those difficult times, you know, the saying, you can get bitter or you can get better. And a lot of people let adversity just push them down. Then there's other people that see it as a challenge. They know that God's in control, that he's directing their steps, and they have that attitude of faith. And I believe that's what leads you, you know, to new beginnings, because we all go through loss. I mean, you know, I'm a positive, faith-filled person, but, you know, we have difficulties too. But when you stay in faith and you believe that God's in control, somehow down the road you'll see how he took a bad event and turned it into something good.
Do you ever just wake up grouchy?
Yeah, you know, sometimes.
I find that hard to believe.
Well, every once in a while. But, you know, I do what I tell other people to do. Find something to be grateful for and go out and do something good for somebody else. If you'll make somebody else's day, God will make your own day.
Pastor Osteen, I appreciate it.
Thanks, Anderson.
Really a pleasure.
It's advice on how to be nice. I mean, is there anything in and of itself, what Joel Osteen says, without with the exception of your attitude allows God to do great things in your life. Think about that. He has spent the first couple minutes of his interview talking about the Haitian earthquake, declaring God's sovereignty. God's in control. God's got a plan. God's got everything under control. And then with the next breath, he can say, your attitude allows God to do great things in your life. Who's sovereign? Sounds like he's saying you're sovereign. God can't do unless your attitude is right. Believe it or not, that's what Joel Osteen actually believes. That your bad attitude can prevent God, the sovereign God, the ruler of the universe, king of all things, from doing things in your life. If you don't have the right attitude, God is not permitted to act. Joel actually believes this. But apart from that, it's advice on how to be nice. You make someone else's day, God will make yours. I don't know what that means. You can get bitter or you can get better. This guy is the pastor of the largest megachurch in the United States. Can you believe it? Yes, I can believe it. This is all it takes to grow a church. Platitudes. Christless, crossless platitudes. Just because a church is growing doesn't mean that Christ is being proclaimed there. Doesn't even mean it's the church. We'll be right back with Colleen Carroll Campbell. Stay tuned. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
You canceled the wrong show. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal is out. It contains an article I've written titled Legalism and License. How are these two really the same error? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. journal. You can also read about Pastor Brian Wolfmiller's journey from liberal Lutheranism and navel-gazing evangelicalism to the external promises of God in Holy Scripture. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.